Being the father of four kids has taught me a lot about the father heart of God. I didn't know what it was like to have a good father, and so I didn't really understand the father heart of God until I became a father myself. You see, my father physically beat my mom at a time when people looked the other way at that sort of thing. She had gone to the police, her pastor, and friends, but nobody was willing to help. She wanted to leave many times, but he wouldn't let her take my sister and me with her. She stayed and endured what she was going through so my sister and I would not have to go through something similar. After one time, he finally said, "Get out of here and take these blankety-blank children with you." So she left from there and we moved to a different place. Well, from the time I was five, that was when we left, when I was about five. From the time I was five until about the time I was eight, I was sexually molested by a friend of the family. When you're that age, you really don't understand what's going on. You know that something's not quite right, but you don't know how to describe it. In fact, I thought that I was the one doing something wrong. I didn't realize it was him doing something wrong. As I got older and into my teen years and realized what it was that had happened, I really started to hate this guy for what he had done to me. I hated him so much that I got to the point by the time I was 16, if I could have gotten rid of him or killed him, I may have done so. But that didn't go with what I was reading in the Bible. See, I was fortunate, like I said, to have a mom who loves the Lord with all her heart. She taught us about the Lord not only by word, but by example too. She's into that Bible every day, reading it, living it, praying for her children and grandkids. My sister and I have often kidded around with her, and we said, "Mom, if you were ever in a coma, you probably would come out of it long enough each day to read your Bible." That's how dedicated she is. And I can't say that I am that dedicated. I wish I could. I think that's one of the most important things we can do each day, to be in communion with the Lord. But I have to admit that sometimes when I'm traveling in ministry, it gets put to the end of the day, and by then I'm ready to collapse into bed, fall asleep, and you miss a day or two. And I really regret having to say that, but sometimes we do miss, but I try to read it regularly. I would come across the passages that talk about forgiveness and how we're supposed to forgive other people. And I didn't want to forgive this guy for what he had done to me. I thought it was just too horrible. I could forgive my sister when we got into fights. I could forgive my mom and friends. I could even forgive the bullies at school. I was picked on a lot in junior high until at one point I figured out that I was bigger than most of the other people who were picking on me. But I didn't want to forgive the man who had done this to me. I want to read the verse that was really jumping out at me as I would read the Bible. It's from Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. It says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins." That's a pretty strong statement. That's one of those statements, you know, sometimes you read things in the Bible and you wish you could get out your scissors and cut out some verses. You know, all those verses that talk about God pouring out his blessing on us and those kinds of things. We like those verses. But when we come across a verse that requires a change in us, those are the verses that are hard to like. I'll tell you what, in music, in sports, and yes, in our Christian walk, we are either getting better as musicians and sportsmen and Christians, or we're becoming worse musicians, sportsmen, or Christians growing further from the Lord. In music, sports, our Christian walk, and many other areas of life, there is no just staying the same. When God shows us something in his word that we know we are supposed to do, if we don't do it, we grow further away from him. We can't just stay the same. We can't pick and choose from the Bible. How many of you have a little garden in your backyard? I have a little plot where we grow some corn and other vegetables. I like to think of our hearts as being like a garden. God is putting the good seed, the corn, in there to grow, be fruitful, and to multiply. One little seed grows to become a huge corn stalk with many ears of corn. It's an amazing miracle to see. Well, one year we planted our garden, and then we were gone for several weeks, and the weeds came. The corn had started. It was a couple of inches tall before we left, but nobody was there to pull the weeds when we were gone, so they had grown several feet high in that couple of weeks. You could still spread the weeds apart and see the corn growing underneath, but it was covered up with weeds. So the good thing we had planted was still there, but the weeds were covering it. And it's the same thing in our hearts. God plants corn in our hearts because he wants to see good things, good fruit come out of our lives, those of us who are called by his name. But sometimes we let the weeds grow in our gardens, the weeds of unforgiveness, of hatred, of jealousy, of bitterness. That's what I had done in my life. If we let the weeds grow, the longer weeds stay, the deeper their roots go. Then they get almost impossible to pull out. When they're small, they're easy to pull out. Some of you may have small weeds growing. Some may have some big ones. The big ones will take God's help to pull out. We need to pull that hatred, bitterness, and unforgiveness out of our hearts so the corn can grow. The next song I have for you is an old hymn called There Is a Fountain. The words to this song are, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. And I'm one of those sinners. How could I, with the sin I have in my life, not be willing to forgive the man who molested me? When I finally forgave him, it was like a huge burden was lifted off of me. Not that the emotional pain was erased. That's something that will probably be there all my life. But the burden of me carrying vengeful thoughts is gone. Maybe some of you here have similar vengeful thoughts. You know, statistics show that 10% of the population will have gone through something similar to what I went through. Or maybe you've been through something worse. I don't know what your situation is, but God knows what your situation is. As I play There Is a Fountain, I'd like everybody to bow their heads. And in your own way, pray to the Lord and say, "Lord, is there a weed growing in my heart that I need to pull today?" Ask the Lord to help you pull that weed out. One of the things that made it hard for me to forgive this man for what he had done is that I thought I was better than him. I realized that I'm not better than he is. If I compare myself to him, I seem better, but not when I compare myself to God's perfection. In Colorado Springs, we have the beautiful Pikes Peak Mountain. It's over 14,000 feet tall, and Colorado Springs is at about 6,000 feet. Just picture for a moment God up on the top of Pikes Peak looking down at Colorado Springs. And here's James. Here's me. I've done some pretty good things in my life, lived a decent life, and I'm a pretty good husband and father. And maybe I've gotten 20 feet up from there in the valley of Colorado Springs, 20 feet closer to the top of Pikes Peak. And now take the guy who molested me or someone who has done something evil to you, and we'll call them the scum of the earth. They are right there at ground level. Here I am, 20 feet above them. It looks like a large distance from my perspective. But from where God is standing, if you've ever been up on the top of Pikes Peak and you're looking down, something at ground level looks the same as something that's 20 feet up. It looks exactly the same. Our righteousness, our works that we think are deserving of credit, when God looks down on them, it looks the same to him as someone who is rotting in sin. But here's the good news. The good news is that we can be up there in God's presence, see, not by our own works, not by our own might. We would never get up there to where God is by our own works, but by the work that Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. The grace that he had for us enables us to be on the top of Pikes Peak. That doesn't mean we stop trying to be good. We still do those things because we want to please our Heavenly Father. But we realize it's not by our works that we're saved. It's by the forgiveness that God gives us through Christ, and because of that, we need to forgive others. I encourage you to not leave here today until you have found forgiveness from the Lord or forgiven someone who has sinned against you. Anybody here today who calls himself a Christian can pray with you. There's nothing special about a prayer offered by the pastor versus one offered by another Christian. When you leave today, go knowing that you have a heavenly daddy. The Bible says we can call him our Abba Father, and that was the Aramaic word for daddy. You have a heavenly daddy who loves you and cares for you. He's a perfect daddy. He's never grouchy or tired like I am. He always does the right thing and is willing to forgive us when we do wrong. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for being merciful in our lives and for forgiving our sins. Help us, Lord, to forgive others. Help us to be fruitful and to be the corn that multiplies and not be hampered by the weeds growing. We thank you for your grace, your love, and for being our Abba Father. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for having me here today. It's been a pleasure and a privilege. God bless you, and I hope to come back again someday.